Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. In the bulletin, it says that we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. And may I say this, I am not ashamed of the fact that we are Baptists. I'm not ashamed that we stand for the Word of God from cover to cover. And I'm glad that in the beginning, it was that way, and it's my desire through the time in which I'm the pastor here that we will continue to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Then he, that being Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to just remember this day. And Lord, we thank you for the men and women that in the very beginning were willing to make a stand, and that we're willing to sacrifice, that we're willing to give, so that there could be a Covenant Baptist Church. And Lord, we think of the victories down through the 57 years of souls saved and hearts made right, of people who have gone out taking the gospel with them. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Alan Lord writes in The Everlasting Nation, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. In this verse, we see through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ his deep burden for a lost and dying world. Now, I'm going to stop that quote for a moment. But do you believe that we live in a lost and dying world? Do you believe that we live in a world that has lost its bearing? It's lost its focus. It's got its eyes on the wrong things. See, Christ had a deep burden for a lost and dying world. Christ had a global vision. He understood that the peace mankind desires can only come through the gospel. He told his disciples to go and preach this good news to all mankind. Don't leave out anybody. Unquote. The problem man has today is that it's all about appearance. It's about the bling. It's the attention you can attract. It's the tattoos and piercing. It's amount of flesh revealed. We've taken our eyes off what is good and put it on something that is far less important. The Bible says, do all to the glory of God. Man says, me, me, me. Verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples. I get out a piece of paper and a pencil. Now, I don't normally do this on a Sunday morning, but this is not a normal Sunday morning. This is our church's 57th anniversary. I'm going to have you do something, and if you do it right, you can be at the front of the line tonight when we go for the donuts. I would like you right now to write down the 12 names without looking in your Bible, the 12 names of the disciples of Christ. Now, I believe this, that all of you should get at least 7. I mean, there are 7 that should just pop into your mind immediately. Write them down. Can you name all 12 of the disciples? Okay. You finished? Some of you are writing them down with your neighbor, I can tell. Yes. Simon called Peter. How many of you got Simon Peter? Okay. How many of you forgot Simon? Okay. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And his brother John. They were known as the sons of thunder. Yes. Number five, Philip. All right, we got someone with all five. Bartholomew. Anybody get Bartholomew? I see some hands going up. All right, Bartholomew. Excellent, excellent. Thomas, number seven, doubting Thomas. Then Matthew the publican. That's what Matthew calls himself in the list of the disciples. Matthew the publican. Then there's James the son of Alphaeus. One of the lesser known disciples. Then there's the one called Libius, which also goes by Thaddeus. And some of you may think that. I wish sometimes I had been named Thaddeus. Thaddeus Madonna. Don't you think that'd go together good? Thaddeus. They call me Thad. Thaddeus. Then there's the other Simon, Simon the Canaanite, also known as Simon the Zealot. And who's the 12th? Judas Iscariot. Now, you should have at least gotten seven. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Thomas, Matthew, and Judas. That's seven. How many of you got at least seven? All right. How many of you got more than seven? I see hands up. How many of you got all 12? I got a couple. You guys get to go first tonight when we have donuts. All right. Now you see, Pastor Paul, how'd you do? Well, I have all 12 right here. I just read them to you, didn't I? Yes. All right. But Jesus gave them special powers and authority to help provide interest in Christ's earthly ministry. We find here he called his 12 disciples. You know, a lot of times parents will call their children, but they won't come until there's a certain voice. You know, that's sad when your children learn at what point they must come. But yet there are many parents that your kids have in their mind that if all they say is, hey, come here, they don't have to. But they know when there comes a certain volume, boy, now I better get there. But Jesus called them. We find in verse 2 that he sent them. This was no glamour job, folks. This was no glamour job. We note that they were going to go expecting to encounter demons and sickness. They were going to go without things. The Bible says, take nothing. There were no staves for protection. There was no scrip. That is a small bag or purse. They were to take no food. I'm not sure I like that idea. They were to take no money. Can you imagine going on a trip and you're not taking any money? How many of you remember the days, really before credit cards were what they are today, and you would take the American Express traveler's checks? You remember the traveler's checks? Yeah, I remember taking those traveler's checks, you know. And you would hope that the place you went would take the traveler's checks. They weren't to take a second coat. Ooh, for some of you, you're getting cold already. No second coat for warmth. There were no reservations for the night. Whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. There was no long stays. And in verse 5, it tells us that some were going to accept them, but there were others that were going to reject them. And they were to shake off the very dust from their feet as a testimony that they would not accept this testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they were called. They were sent and then they departed. Now, it's one thing to be sent. It's another thing to actually go. It's one thing to be told, this is what I want you to do. Now do it. It's another thing to do it. He called, he sent, and they went. Now, some of you will remember when the pews in this auditorium went all the way to the back wall. There was no sound booth. None of the pews were cut up. Today there are four of the pews downstairs in the one of the rooms downstairs. All the pews were up here. There were no ropes to move people forward, and there was a time in which the pews were full on a Sunday morning. I remember that when the choir came down, you had to make sure that you had a place already reserved. There was that time. In the first 10 years of the church, I asked my dad about this yesterday, in the first 10 years of the church, it was not uncommon on visitation night, which was on Monday at that time, to have 20 to 25 adults that would go out on visitation. 20 to 25. In the 70s, there would be 10 to 15 adults and a half a dozen teens that would go out on visitation. Yesterday in visitation, there was Pastor Stephen and me. Do you think there's a different thought life today? See, the commission is still the same, go into all the world and tell. But there's little desire. Television has been a major problem for the church. The desire to be entertained. All too many people don't want to be inconvenienced. They're afraid of the response of people. If you would, chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, we find the man that had been healed of the demons that possessed him, whose name was Legion. Verse 38 says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him, that being Jesus, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Take your Bibles, if you will, and quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, folks, I want the Covenant Baptist Church to be a church that is great in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if it is great in the eyes of mankind, well, that's all right, but I want it to be great in the eyes of the Lord. I want the Covenant Baptist Church to be a church that proclaims the Word of God. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Would you say that time is here? Yeah. Would you say that people would rather go to a church that's going to entertain them for an hour than where they're going to have to praise the Lord in song and in Scripture? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. On Wednesday night, we had the privilege of having one of our missionaries here, John Hawkins, and as mentioned Wednesday night, the Hawkins family is probably the longest running missionary support that we've given through the years. First with Joe Hawkins, the dad, who has now been dead about 2 years, but now his three sons. And he told me this. Now listen carefully to this statement. Now John Hawkins is supported by Bible-believing Baptist churches. He said this. This is the first non-mission conference Wednesday night service I've had since I've come home from Brazil. And he said it's because they're not having Wednesday night services anymore. If you read Roger Campbell in The Source, he wrote this: I was to preach 16 sermons in a two-week evangelistic conference. Can you imagine our church having a two-week revival service? Where we would ask you to come out every night for 2 weeks. He says, a two-week evangelistic conference at a country church, a common feat then, but one that is almost unknown in this period of vanishing Sunday night and midweek services. You say, well, Pastor, what's happening? Television. Parties. We've decided that other things are more important than the house of God on a Sunday night. We've decided that it's not important to preach the Word of God. And for many, they wouldn't care if the Covenant Baptist Church decided to close its doors on Sunday night. I would hope that would bother you. I would hope you would rise up and protest if we even considered doing that. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3, and you know the church that we're going to be talking about, the church of Laodicea. And as we sit here on comfortable pews and the temperature is at a comfortable 69 degrees, now, some of you just got cold. The lights are on and the PA system is working and other than the organ, which we'll take a look at, Cheryl, and we'll get that hammer out again and go after it. We're sitting in comfort, aren't we? I was in Pastor Barry Bidwell's office Friday. I went over to discuss our upcoming mission conference in March. At one time, the state of Michigan had a round robin mission conference, and it involved enough churches for 2 weeks. There were 10 or 11, maybe 12 different churches that were part of our round robin mission conference. You know how many there'll be this year? Two. Do you know why? Because pastor after pastor says, I'm embarrassed on my Thursday and Friday night attendance, and we are no longer going to have them. And I think to myself, what is happening in America? And the desire to see the gospel sent forth. Beginning at verse 14, I was going someplace with that comment. On his wall, he has a picture of a Baptist group meeting in Siberia. That should make you cold. And if you saw the picture, it would make you colder. It was a group of about 25 believers meeting together in the snow in Siberia. Now, let me ask you, if we had told you we are going to have meetings today at the Covenant Baptist Church, but we have neither light nor heat, but we're still going to have the service, would you still have come? Would you have brought your 3 blankets and some candles? But see, we have become so comfortable in what we have. Verse 14, and unto the angel, the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is the faithful and true witness, and he knows our works. He knows what the Covenant Baptist Church has done, is doing, and will do. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold nor hot, or hot. But then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, the Lord is talking to believers, correct? He's talking to the believers at the church of Laodicea. So he says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If he's standing at the door and knocking, where is he? He's outside. He's outside asking admittance into the church. Can there be a greater testimony against the church than that? That Christ is outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Folks, it's important that we as a body of believers have a desire to serve the Lord. That it isn't just Pastor Paul and his wife and a few others, that it's all of us desiring to serve the Lord. Take your Bibles back just to the previous book, the book of Jude. We'll read a few verses from here. My time is all but gone. Jude 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend, be about it, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in church after church today where they are meeting, but they have forgotten why they're really there. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, be the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Shall we stand together? I'm just going to ask Pastor Stephen to sing this morning. I don't want you to take your books. Our ladies are going to play for him. Jesus is calling. This morning's invitation is going to be the same, that if you've never known Christ as your Savior, we'd love to have you come today, and we'll show you from the Word of God what you have to do to get saved. Maybe you need to come and pray about a certain issue. That's something in your life, that's good too. But maybe this morning you'd just like to come and pray for the Covenant Baptist Church, that it can remain a lighthouse, an outpost of faith, something used of God until he calls us home, that we do not become, well, there used to be a Covenant Baptist Church, but they're no more. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, one of our greatest fears is that you will remove our candlestick, that you will make us impotent, that you will remove us and spew us out of your mouth. Lord, may we be focused and have a vision In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.